Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to everyone out there. We'd like to welcome you to another episode of Missing Pages of History. As always, we are honored to come into your homes this evening. And today we're going to discuss some news you can use, what's going on in the neck of your woods, as well as things you should know. With our contributors and analysts, Mr. Joyner, Mr. McHale, and Ms. June Robinson, we're going to be discussing some issues that we think are important to our communities. As you know, for Missing Pages of History, we want to use communications as a means to uplift our community and build them. So we'd like to, first and foremost, welcome our contributors and analysts to Missing Pages. We'd like to welcome them this morning. And we'd like to go straight to the point in terms of what's going on in the necks of our woods. We'll first start out with Emmanuel. Emmanuel will give us a perspective on what we should know. And under what we should know, Emmanuel will talk about the upcoming elections, what is at stake, and the voter ID, along with an issue dealing with the future crisis in housing, how people will be chosen or how people will be structured in determining what type of house or even if they can afford a home. But first and foremost, Emmanuel, again, welcome to the show.
Welcome, welcome. Yeah, on the first part, alert everyone on the voter ID that's getting very prominent in all of our states, especially the southern states. Right at the moment, ID that you've been using all along, that is okay for right now. But legislation is being passed in the state of North Carolina with very rigid, going to be very rigid voting laws that you're going to need an ID, a picture photo ID, basically. And if you don't have that, you're going to have what they call provisional ballot. Then you got, I think, 4 days max to come back and have the, you know, the photo ID, which you need to get from the DMV or whatever, or some type of ID. So that's going to be the calling card for the November general election. And that's very important that we make sure that we have people representing us as an American, as everybody, you know, as a citizen, and have all of the voting rights we should have that we fought for in the 60s. They're trying to, you know, trying to turn these back a little bit, and they're doing a very good job of it. If they can't get that done, they're gerrymandering. What that means is that they have taken districts that predominantly African-American districts or predominantly Latino or Hispanic districts, and they're putting us all together, and you get so many reps out of that district because the lines have been drawn. So in rural areas where people might be 3 miles apart, they will have more reps than you have because, again, they're drawing lines. So if a guy owns 60 to 70 acres or 100 acres, well, he might get a rep for that one area because of the line for that particular, you know, for that particular region. Where you might have 10,000 people sitting on 40 acres with apartment buildings and everything else, low-income housing, and you get one rep, and they get the same rep as you're getting, and might be just one person. So I'm not sure you have, you know, I'm just putting it out there so you understand exactly what's going on. It's, you know, it's not by people. They're gerrymandering to a line, to a district, and so many acreage or so much mileage. You can put so many people in or how many people you've got in a particular mileage. So they're not doing it by population. That doesn't work. Because, again, you got tall buildings, apartment complexes, you got this type of thing. So this is what's going on now, a smart way of doing it. Another thing is coming out, and I heard this through the grapevine, that they're going to try to get this done within the next 15 to 20 years, is try to, a person on the income, you get a vote according to your income. So if you make $100,000 a year, you might get one vote. You make $200,000 a year, you get two votes. You make $1 million a year, you get 10 votes. So this is the type of thing they're going to come up with because, again, the Europeans will be in the minority, and they want to make sure they stay in power like they are now so they can twist everything and run everything like they're doing now, screwing everything up. So this is what's coming to the future. You're getting it from me. This is the next thing they can do to make things happen so they can change the whole voting thing, or they can try to change the Electoral College. So these are the kind of things that's going to happen. Sure, they stay in power at all given times. They do not want a woman president. They don't want a Latino president or Hispanic president, and don't want another black president. They have made that clear in certain of the legislature, certain of the small precincts in North Carolina. So understand what's going on here. Now I'm going to move to the housing. And the housing, they're going to make it a bit more disturbing to try to get housing now for you to buy a home. A lot of apartment buildings are out there that are empty. They want you. That's where they want you at. Okay, so you don't have a write-off for income taxes, this type of thing. So the thing what they're doing now, they sort of go into the rule of thumb where 2.5 times your salary, that qualifies you to get a home. So if you're on the low end of the totem pole of wages, what type of home can you get? Only in poor neighborhoods, neighborhoods where where the real estate is not that expensive. So again, they're clustering you up again. So that's, again, that's segregation, basically. You can only buy what they call a shanty in my book, a shanty, or a low-income house. And again, if you make $40,000, that's easy math, $50,000, and your wife makes $50,000, well, that's $100,000. You can buy a house for $250,000. Well, the average home right now is $305,000, so you don't qualify for the average home, okay? All right, let's look at it closer. Let's say you and your wife together, and 66% of the people that are making minimum wage are women, which include African-American women, too. 66% that you're making on the poverty level, you're making minimum wage. This way you are. Most of them working two jobs. So you're making basically $20,000. You're trying to buy a home as a single mother, $20,000 plus $20,000 plus $10,000. What house are you going to find for $50,000? Nothing. So you're going to be basically an apartment dweller. That's where they're going to keep you at. So now it might go into the thing again to the voting thing. You have to own a home to vote. Like it used to be a long time ago, you had to have a certain amount of land to vote. You can actually have a certain amount of property. So again, these are the alternatives that you got to be looking at what they're trying to do to you. That's why they don't want to do the minimum wage thing, because I think these are some of the obstacles that's going to happen when this happens. Minimum wage, we get them making X amount of dollars, they can buy homes at a certain price. They can qualify. They don't want you qualified. You got to know how these things, guys, think. I think like they think. I think the same way they think. I think of every obstacle they're trying to do so they won't prepare certain things. Immigration, same thing. They can buy a house. They'd be able to vote. This, that, and this, and this. All this stuff is coming. And the Republicans know they're losing power like they never lost before. They'll never get in the presidency again. They can always hang that up. The congressional seats, all the hate stuff they can do is still not, it's hurting them, basically. And the thing is, they're not sure it don't help you to make any kind of wages of any sort. And the Koch brothers are making sure of that because they're donating $120 million. The average party donates for the whole year, the campaign financial structure is $109 million. Two guys, $120 million, they're buying votes. These are the guys that are bringing this stuff up about so much money, you can have some in the votes because you got so much money. Well, who got all the money? So 2% going to run the country regardless. So we got to look at this thing from a realistic point of view. This is what they're after. And that's what they're paying these guys to think. But none of us are thinking along the lines I'm thinking. We don't think that far. We're not a critical thinker. So I'm going to think for you and look at what's going on. The wind is blowing that direction. It's blowing. Why no wage increase, minimum wage? Why? You might say the outlaw all women. Look how they're treating our president. Everything is hateful. And this is the way they want to win elections, being hateful. So the same thing applying to the voting. You need to vote them out of there. Go to the polls regardless. Whatever, talk to your church leader, your pastor. He needs to make this, before he do any kind of sermon, this should be his sermon starting. In any organization, this should be your sermon. anywhere the masses, when in, where the masses meet, where it's a concert, where it's a church, where it's an organization, we should be talking about voting. Things that people before us fought so hard for, and myself, who fought so hard for. I was a part of that fight to vote. And look what's going on. Look what's happening now. They're doing everything they can to not to let you vote. Who would hurt the most? The minorities and African Americans.
Okay, Emmanuel, we'd like to thank you for sharing your perspective on the things we should know. But before we go to our Philadelphia chapter, there's one thing I'd like to ask you about one of the things you stated earlier, Emmanuel. If they're going to elude or create a new system with a different form based upon money, they clearly they are beginning to admit that there's no democracy here. It will be based upon money. Those who have wealth get to participate, and those who don't, they continue to be enslaved. Just respond to that statement, because I think that's how some people would see that.
Well, they say it's a republic. Through the grapevine, everybody says that it's a republic. It's not a democracy anymore. Most of us say it's democratic, but again, it's a republic. Republicans say it's a republic. They're using their brand name. Republican is a republic. That's what we have now. So the when it comes democratic, it includes everybody. Republican is selected few. We have to make sure we understand what republic means. Selected few. Democratic includes everybody. We got to make it understood. We got to make sure that we understood exactly what the Republicans are out to do and what they're going to do, because, again, they're losing power. All the power they got now is in the South, basically. A little bit in the Midwest. They're talking about two states want to secede. Wisconsin wants to secede, and also Texas. South Carolina, let them go. Just take them off the map, cut them off, tell them move the whole state to somewhere else. Take the state out. We don't talk that way. We don't know how to talk that way. If you're going to secede, pick your state up, cut it off the map, and take it somewhere in some ocean. Put it out there. So you got to talk like they talk. That craziness they're talking. Once you take that state funds from that money from them, take that tourism from them, they're no more good. Because most states depend on 10-20% of money, especially Texas, for tourism. Don't buy from them, no nothing, no federal funds, no highways, nothing, no planes fly, no airplanes fly in. That what you want? Just cut the state out, move it to some ocean. Cut it out of the union totally. Then they'll wake up and have some sense. But we don't talk that way, see? When you talk that way, that's what it's all about. Again, but to your question, republic means basically a few. It's exclusion. Democracy includes everybody.
Okay, let's move on to our Philadelphia chapter with June and Mikhail. They're going to present a segment where we call What's Up in the Nick of Your Wood, News That You Can Use. Mikhail and June, welcome to Missing Page of History. What would you like to share with our listening audience today?
This is June. Good afternoon, listeners. Coming from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, I just want the people in this region to be aware. Mr. Joyner mentioned about the minimum wage. Well, we know that the president tried very hard and is still trying to pass the minimum wage law for all Americans, and Congress has not helped him at any stretch of the has not helped him. Now here in Philadelphia, the state has received proposals to pass the minimum wage. We know at the national level it's about $7.25 for the average worker, which is not enough to live, as Mr. Joyner pointed out. And say, to date, as of last week, our mayor, Mayor Nutter, actually signed into law for contractors and subcontractors to increase their living wage from $10.88 to $12 an hour. But more importantly, what the people in this region need to do on May 20th when they go to the primary is to vote the number one question to raise the minimum wage hourly rate here in this area for this state.
Okay. Brother McHale, is there anything you'd like to contribute under this section?
Okay. Dealing with the political scene, there's a history to the democracy as taught in Western history. They generally tie that to the Greek civilization, the early Greeks. And what's interesting is that in that particular model, which seems to have carried over to some degree, is that the landed and the wealthy were the ones who participated in elections. So the thinking was that if you were not landed, if you were not from the aristocracy, then you didn't have enough intelligence or knowledge to be a voter or participant in making decisions concerning your country and your life. That was handed over to the folks with money. In terms of republics, if you look at the root of the word, and this has been misapplied, I would say, at this point, it's based on the public. But this is not what these definitions are being used for in the last 40 or 50 years. They've come to mean something very different. Other than that, it is important for us to begin to study the way the system is set up and how we can truly affect and make changes. It takes a little more than just voting. We'll have to understand how to develop legislation. We'll have to find how we can propose to local politicians the things that we need to be accomplished and be able to hold them accountable. Other than that, this week we've been watching the international news, and we've seen quite a bit of uproar about the situation in Nigeria with the so-called Islamic radical group called Boko Haram, and that's been translated, though I don't really understand how they could translate it particularly that way. Haram does mean sacred or restricted. And the Boko is supposed to be referring to Western education. We've seen something like this before with the situation in Pakistan with Malala, and that's another interesting situation. But what we have here is what I would consider a part of a destabilization program that's designed to affect Nigeria and the cohesion of any kind of African unity. The Nigerian army and ECOWAS, which was the African version of a united military force, is basically being supplanted by AFRICOM, which is the United States' version of a rescue kind of operation that they would like to have available to handle situations in Africa. Nigeria is currently hosting a continental economic summit, and Nigeria, through China's participation, has grown by leaps and bounds. The economy is doing much better. Beautiful cities are being built, and the difference is that with the Chinese input, roads, infrastructure, electricity, all these things are being handled, and the Nigerians are actually beginning to benefit from some of the resources that they have. Africa is still loaded with oil, gold, diamonds, and materials that are absolutely necessary for computers, cell phones, and so on and so forth. So, again, we see a pattern in that all opposition to the United States and the Western powers must be defeated. All ideas that do not coincide with the plans or the strategic interests in of the United States and the Western powers must be sidetracked, and that's basically what we're seeing now. This Boko Haram is supposedly affiliated with Al-Qaeda, and we've seen that back during the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan, I believe Reagan was the president, the United States supplied training, funding, and arms to this group, and after the Soviet collapse, this group was allowed to continue on and has become very instrumental in places we've seen. We've seen the Arab Spring. We've seen Libya go, Syria's in the midst of conflict, Tunisia, Egypt, and now we begin the African summer. That's what I would look to see coming down the pike. Let's stay tuned and keep an eye on this. We've had situations where CIA or other groups have funded and actually started various radical groups around the world. Keep a close eye. And just keep in mind that a lot of times when you see something on TV, there's quite a bit more going on behind the scenes that is not being discussed.
Well, I think the subject of Boko Haram is a nationally topic that is going on in all communities. I think last week I received a report that up in New York at the United Nations, I think they organized something like 20,000 women came out in protest against what was taking place in Nigeria. And they were putting demands on the government in terms of how could they allow this to happen and why they didn't know where these children are located. And that's the question I'm asking. I noticed there had been a silence. I think when the incident happened, it was like around the 15th of last month, but waited about 2 to 3 weeks before the public really became aware of it. I would like to have some feedback in terms of how could such a large child trafficking event take place with nobody knowing nothing about it, particularly the government officials? How do you analyze that situation, Emmanuel?
Well, again, you know, Nigeria is a little bit different than most. That's the largest, most populous country in Africa. And there's certain regions that are occupied, especially northeastern region, don't have any politics. That is where the radicals are, basically. So let's make sure we, you know, divide this where it's supposed to be. It's not western Nigeria, this is eastern Nigeria, which is basically, you might call it ghetto to a certain point, because they have there's no politics there. That's where radicals can go and do it. It's like a piracy type thing. Let's get this thing in perspective here. It ain't about the United States. It ain't about this or that. It's what it is. It's radical. It's jungle-like. And it's what it do, you know, again. But this happens. Kidnapping of children for sexual slavery been going on for years, hundreds of years. Things like this happen. It happened in China, in Taiwan, the Philippines, it's in Mexico. This is a huge billion-dollar business. I think it's $34 billion they're trying to put an estimate
and
on it.
We need to add in the U.S., because I just recently talked with some people in Washington.
The U.S. is Washington, D.C., New York. So you have immigrants here. You got people who want to have children. And, again, a lot of businessmen, they go to Taiwan and go to Bangkok. That's where a lot of businesses go to places like Malaysia. Again, because there's sexual slavery there. Well, a lot of businessmen go there from all over the world. Las Vegas has it. I mean, Nevada has this also. California, Texas, Mexico. So this is not an isolated incident. But we have to understand one thing. Every time something happens on the planet, I'm just pointing the USA out. We cannot police the whole planet for every little incident. We just can't. Impossible. When we interfere, that's a problem. We don't interfere, that's a problem. Where you want us to be at? All we're looking at is humanity. I look at humanity. We should participate in things where humanity happens. Libya, you can't just go kill people like there's nothing to it. And Syria, you just can't do this stuff. China can't do this stuff. In Russia, can't do this stuff. You're just going to just killing people all the time. So you got to take a stand sometimes. That's why sometimes it's elongated, not to say at a particular moment, because we cannot police the world. We try. We got 202 bases out there around the world, got embassies. A lot. Expensive. Don't want to pay tax. Don't want to do nothing. But just complain and talk. Those are the ones who do complaining, who not putting money where it's supposed to be at. Don't want to pay no taxes, try to cheat on the taxes. We're trying to police the world. We're not in Africa that huge. because we have natural resources. Europe don't have any. The other countries, China don't have any. Why do you think China there? Let's get this thing straight. They're not there because they want to be there, because China don't have natural resources. I mean, some things are common sense, and some things are political. I don't make anything political. Why are you here? Why are whites in Africa? Diamonds are there. Natural resources there. Why the pharmaceutical companies there getting the stuff out of the soil? Because you need it. Africa can't buy it. They can have it. They can make the computer chip do that. How are they going to buy it at 24 cents an hour? Let's stop being stupid. Like the Republican Party.
We got to start right there.
You can do what you want to do. But mainly, you got to buy it. You can have it, but you got to, who's going to purchase it? Who's going to buy the diamonds? Look who buy the diamonds. So we got to talk out both sides of our neck sometime, but the truth, Western Middle truth. You can have all the natural resources in the world, but you can't sell it nowhere. So it don't do you no good. Unless you develop it. And who is the purchaser? So all of that, I hope I answered your question. That's why you can't just rip into everything every time that something happens. The Nigerian children, we know that. What brought news on, give me one moment, what brought news on, it's a parochial school, basically. And most of the kids, they're going to be lawyers and doctors. Most of those kids, basically, I was all of them just about a virgin to a certain extent. They're selling these kids at $12 a piece. That's a lot of money when you're getting 18 to 25 cents an hour and sell to, you know, and you're trying to appease your soldiers, trying to build your army. And you can build your army because of their needs of women and sexual prowess. That's what it's all about. So let's be real here. Let's look at the real facts and not speculative facts. All speculation, you know, Western world, this, that, that's not the deal. Nowhere close to being the deal. You got to feed them soldiers with their needs to keep them, and they want sex. That's why they did what they did.
Okay, let's just stop right there because time is limited. We'd like to encourage the audience. Yeah. We are having an open section on news you can use. We're going on in your wood. And before we go to our caller, we have a caller who's been waiting for a while. We'd like to look at our audience that we have extending our quarterly raffle drawing to May the 21st, so there's still time to get your tickets. We'll tell you later on in the program. You can email us at missingpatienthistory1@yahoo.com, or you can call us at 804-726-3216. 804-726-3216. It's important to call us and work on Missing Pages of History. Right now, for those who may not hear the entirety of this program, we always welcome you to check out our archive by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/missing-pages-of-history-inc. So right now, let's go to our caller. Caller, 3330. Your question or comment, please, caller. 3330. Welcome to Mr. Pages of History.
Well, thank you.
Yes, caller.
In regards to my comment, I would like to say that I agree with what Brother Jordan conveyed, that this whole interest in Africa is a matter of survival and a matter of utilizing those resources that are there because they hold great value, especially when you look at things like improving health or the financial gain that can be made from, especially when you look at a lot of the clothes and things we use. The cost of a computer over there is astronomical, but because the resources are harvested elsewhere, that's why electronics are cheaper, because we've harvested the resources elsewhere, so we don't necessarily have to bear the burden of digging them up like over there.
Okay, caller, we'd like to thank you for your comments and continue to support Missing Pages of History. We'd like to direct this question to Joe. In terms of when we look at this issue of Boko Haram, as a mother, as a woman, how did you feel when you first heard about the story?
when I first heard the story about the missing Nigerian girls, my first impression was how did it happen? The articles that I have read just last week was saying that 4 hours before the event actually took place, and this is according to Amnesty International, that the school was very aware that the Boko Haram group was going in to take these girls. So where was the Nigerian security force at that point? I mean, how does this happen? And then recently, a couple of days ago, the first number I heard was 246. Now it has jumped up to 270-something girls. Again, all the security forces are aware, the world is aware that this has happened, and then they allow more girls to be taken. Well, the question that comes to mind, what kind of politics is going on in that area? What is the Nigerian government doing? Are there backdoor deals being made? And if they are to be used, as some say, they were taken for the soldiers or used as sex slaves or whatever, again, the Nigerian government is aware, and I don't understand how, as a mother, this could have happened.
I'd like to add on a little bit. Mr. McHale, the information that I spoke of earlier is based on an interview with Hillary Clinton, and the interviewer was on Fox, but this is Hillary Clinton speaking about the founding of Al-Qaeda. Also, we need to consider this in an area of the world where people are struggling to feed themselves. We find that this man, I can't remember his name, but the current leader of Boko Haram has the best in arms, brand new Humvees. He's got the best equipment. But this is a place where people can barely get a bowl of rice, supposedly. So there's money coming from somewhere. And it's already been documented with WikiLeaks and various other sources that the Arab Emirates, Qatar, and a few of those countries in that area are financing a lot of this. We've seen that the United States and these countries have been very comfortable for many years, going back to JFK. So it's not too hard to see this as a murky situation, as I've said before. We've seen Patrice Lumumba assassinated in Africa. We've seen the CIA, and this has been revealed through documents that have been declassified. So there's no need to hide the fact that these governments do what they need to do to dominate the planet and to maintain their strength. When we talk about the system here in this country, we are seeing the same thing, in that if the minority population, which is going to be European-descended population in this country, are struggling to rework the system to maintain themselves in this country, it would be logical to see that around the world. Africa is the last great place of resources, and to keep it destabilized will allow corporations to come in and to feed as necessary. A strong Nigeria and the rest of the continent in some sort of unity together will be a problem for these large corporations to have a free hand in the taking of those resources. So it's not a far-fetched thing. This has already been documented.
I kind of want to change the story for a second, but it's a lot of the same thing. Seems like today we've been looking at the impact of dealing with youth and children. Locally in the area where we at in Richmond, Virginia, what's going on in the neck of our woods, there has been a major story for the last week and a half about a young 8-year-old boy tried to defend his older sister, who was 12 years old, of being attacked by another young male who was 16-year-old trying to rape her. We had a 16-year-old male trying to rape a 12-year-old girl. Her younger brother, whose name is Martin Marty Cobbs. He's well known now. Probably the story has hit is all around the world now. He tried to defend his sister, his 12-year-old sister, against this young man who was 16 years old from keeping him from raping her. As a result of trying to defend his sister, the 16-year-old boy picked up a rock and beat him to death in the head. It came out later that this young boy, 16-year-old, had earlier hit a 3-year-old baby in the back of the head with a hammer. Now, he was earlier in the institution, but they let him out, a mental institution. Now, the question I'd like to raise for everyone who's on this particular program today and those that are listening, I think something is going on in society among our youth that's causing them to act unhuman. I'd like to just general for people just give me their analysis. What is going on with our children? And where it comes from, where these behaviors come from, and how can we maybe change that tide? Recently, President Obama did send a condolence letter, a statement to the family about this case, because it's now internationally known. But Emmanuel, start off with you. Something's going on with these young folks. Why are they acting so much out of control and barbaric behavior? What do you contribute that to?
Well, I think, you know, it's very difficult to put your finger on it because, again, you're talking about 315 million, a population of 315 million people here, and over half of those are teenagers, and, you know, from one-year-old to from babies up to 18. And, again, some of the contributing factors from these games that you can, you know, rent and buy. All these games are basically violent to a certain point. About 80% of violent type games are fighting games, are fighting of violence. A lot of your movies, again, we look at media. I also look at the iPads, the computers, the phones, all this stuff you can grab and get and gather. And again, a lot of people are bipolar. You got to look at all these different behaviors are coming out, people from close proximity where they live or at the school, peer pressure to a certain extent, bullying. So all this behavior is coming toward us. And, of course, parental discretion has to be a little better, but parents are trying to work two jobs to make ends meet. Most of them work, again, on a second and third shift, which is where the kids are out by themselves. Most African Americans, over 70%, work on the second and third shift of retail stores like Walmart, like a Home Depot, the Lowe's. You go in there and look at the landscaping, and you see from 3 o'clock to 11 o'clock, that's where we are. And most government jobs, like the post office, look, we work again on the second shift. You go to the first shift, you'll find a whole different type of, you know, different segment of people. But mainly, if whites are working there, about 70-80% are white, basically, and about 20-30% are African American among other minorities. You go to the second shift, and you see 80-90% minorities working. And the midnight shift, that's almost all you're going to see. I did a study on this for 5 years, so I know what I'm talking about. The landscaping of Walmart, I did a report on this. And on that last shift, where your kids are out, up on the lock key or whatever you want to call it, turnkey, they're babysitting themselves at 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 years old. They're in the streets or hanging with their buds, whatever. That's why they're there, because the parents are not there, because the parents are trying to make a living, trying to pay the rent. So I have other contributing factors, but I think these are major contributing factors why their behavior is there. And again, parents have to get more involved with their children. When I was coming up, there was something called the PTA. They don't have it hardly anymore at schools. The doonies don't even attend. Youth emphasis, not in the church, in the playground, the YMCA, all that type of stuff. That is sort of leading to the sideways. We had those boxing places where the kids are going to even go box. They had some like Boys and Girls Club. They have a few of them now. We need more of these, more interaction with our parents. And with our neighbors, neighborhood, you know, cookout, this type of thing doesn't happen anymore. So it's a different generation now because there's so much media out there. I mean, from Instagram to, you know, hashtag this, hashtag that. It goes on YouTube showing something violent. It goes viral. All these things are sending mixed behaviors to our children. Mixed behaviors. They got programs on TV, one is called ID, showing every type of killing you can think of, especially in excluded places like Montana, the South Dakotas, where killing is really, really terrible. But you don't hear about it. You don't hear about that. They distort it, of course. The killings in Philadelphia or New York or New Jersey, state of New Jersey, or, you know, Chicago, they cover it up with all of this. Not talking about that. This way the media didn't distort things. So, but I think, I hope I answered your question. Those are the signals I gave you, examples I gave, I think this is really about, I would say, 70% of the contributing factors to a child's behavior right now. Of course, you got, I forgot to mention one, gangs. So these are kind of things that I think are contributing to their behavior.
And from a mother, June, what would be your perspective on what is going on with our children today in terms of our behavior?
In addition to what Mr. Joyner says, I think what possibly could be happening, we're having psychological warfare where through these games, TVs, and all of this media stuff, we don't know that the child is not being given subliminal messages to react the way they're doing. I think that is a possibility. And also, through the kind of foods that we're eating that may interrupt child development, cause him to act out certain foods that are just not good for the body and the brain. So it's a variety of things socially. Like Mr. Joyner says, we're not interacting as people used to do when they had very little. But it says a lot when people do come together and interact one-on-one with each other. Kids just don't have anywhere to play up. I know up here in Philadelphia, we don't have a lot of playgrounds. We don't have centers where they can go and work out their social problems or interact with each other to help build themselves up and each other up. So it's a variety of things, I think, that are causing them to behave the way that they are.
Okay, so
I'd like to add on to that. Biggest problem that I see, and I've seen as growing up, the family structure is as basically beginning to dissolve. And it's through the media, a lot of new ideas have come into play. It's been the media that's primarily the tool to change people's opinions in terms of social ideas. So when we see the young men in the neighborhood wearing their pants and now the pants are all the way under their backsides, what is that about? How did that come to be? And how did it become so popular? You see European-American youth in the colleges here imitating that style also. The whole program of human behavior is being manipulated, and I don't think it's for the best.
And quickly, to end on a positive note, Mr. Joyner, less than 1 minute, can you give us a statement? What are some of the things Mr. Page and history is planning on doing in the future to help combat some of these issues in our community? You got less than 1 minute, Mr. Joyner. Quickly, please.
Oh, we're going to try to do, Ms. Page, we're going to try to put those missing pages back into history. I think those are pages that are missing. I'm not saying we're going to try to put, you know, I would say, you know, the church back into the school where you said a prayer before you did anything else. We took prayer out of school. I think a lot of things happened then. But again, peer pressure is a huge thing. And we got to make sure we have proactive peer pressure. And mentors, you know, need to be there. And again, the church has to play a big part in our youth. And of course, the parents have to also. See, most 66% of the people right now, they're single moms trying to raise children by themselves with two jobs. Almost impossible. The poverty level is another thing that's really hurt us real bad.
Okay, Mr. Joyner, we've got to stop you right there. We've got less than 30 seconds. We'd like to thank all of our participants and listening audience for allowing us to come to their homes today as Missing Pages of History. If you'd like to support the works that we are doing, Please, you can send any contribution or all contributions to P.O. Box 27782, Richmond, Virginia 23261. If you'd like to communicate with us, please email us at missingpagesofhistory1@yahoo.com. This is a...